Hey everyone, thanks for listening. Today I want to take a look at our thought process and share part of what has inspired me to start dating again after a 5-year break. If you're single and dating, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it feels like a task to get to something greater, and sometimes you'd rather just have your fingernails pulled out one by one. I was at the fingernail stage about a year ago. So my youngest child was a junior, and I told people that I was going to start dating, maybe, think about it, when he graduated. So it was sneaking up on me, and in reality, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life, so I knew I had to do it, but the thought of dating actually really made my skin crawl. And it's not that I've had so bad experiences. I've met tons of great people. I've had great experiences. You just know what it's like. And if you don't, just imagine. Imagine being single and being out in the dating world. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. So anyway, the thoughts of getting back into it again gave me anxiety. And so I made an appointment with a therapist because I thought, well, I've got issues. I need to get a jump start on this. And so I needed some help. So I went a few times, but in reality, we all need help. We all have things that have happened in our lives that help us shape who we are and maybe give us those anxieties or those issues that we have to learn how to work with. Maybe I shouldn't say issues. Maybe I should say challenges. That's a better word. So anyway, I was listening to a couple of life coaches that I had discovered and I really liked, and one day it happened.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.
Before we get into the episode, I wanted to share my gratitudes for this week. So the three things I'm grateful for this week are summer. With it coming to a close, I wanted to give it a shout out. Some days are super hot where I live, and we do have a shortage of water, but the sun is glorious, and I love feeling its warmth. And I know that I'm gonna miss it when it is snowing outside. I'm grateful for my naturally curly hair. I haven't always liked my hair. I didn't know how to do it, especially in high school. I didn't like it. And then as I tried to do curly hair, when I'd put mousse in it and I would just let it dry on its own, it just always looked like hay or straw. So anyway, I finally learned how to do my curls and they've come out and it's fun to see them. And I love them. So there's that. I'm also grateful for my friends. Every single one of them. Friends are fun, caring, helpful, and just lovely, which is why that's one of the topics today. First, the awkward moment though. I know you've all been dying to hear this one. This one was shared to you by my friend. All right, this particular friend of mine has quite a few of these awkward dating moments, which makes us kindred spirits, and I just love her to death. So anyway, she told me that when she was in college, she was invited to a bonfire one night. And she said that she was so excited just to have been invited to anything, but especially a bonfire with a bunch of guys and girls. So they'd gone up to the mountains, it was dark, they were sitting around the fire and just chatting. And she looked up into the sky thoughtfully. And what she actually wanted to say was, the stars are so bright when you're up in the mountains. I don't know if she really wanted to be profound, but what she actually said was, you know, the best time to see the stars is at night. Then there was a long, awkward silence, and then everybody busted up laughing. She is the best. I know, if you knew my friend, you would love her too. She just makes me laugh. Anyway, let's take a look at a few thoughts that we may have. I seem to always expect the worst when I like someone. Why can't I expect the best? Why do we just expect the worst? Is it our brain trying to protect our heart? I feel like I have learned that that's what happens. Take, for example, buying a house. I've heard so many people say that they don't want to get their hopes up because they don't want to be heartbroken if it doesn't work out. So we keep ourselves from really feeling the excitement and anticipation of getting that house. We stop ourselves from planning out where we want to put the furniture and what color we want to paint the accent wall. But why not plan on it? Why not enjoy the anticipation? That's part of the enjoyment. After all, if we don't get the house, we'll just get a different one, a better one for our situation, and then we'll have all these ideas on house decorating already stored in our brains. So get excited. Expect the best. I think we can bring a lot of good into our lives by just expecting the best. When we do that, we're also able to see the best things around us. What are some of the things that we hold back on because we're afraid of getting our hopes up? Of course, romantic relationships are on the list, but do we also hold back on making friends? That can be scary too. What if we want to be a friend with someone they're not interested? I had taken a break from dating, but during that time, it also included taking a break from singles activities and my single friends. So I was gearing myself up to start dating again, but one of the things that inspired me was the thought of making a bunch of friends or hanging out with my friends that were still single. Most of them have been married in this past 14 years. But that made me excited to think of doing stuff again with a bunch of friends. It seemed to be like a great first step for me. After all, I don't want to just dive into the deep end. Baby steps. One of the podcasts I found was titled Success and Friendship by Brooke Castillo. And she'd also had her friend Aprielle Franks on. And they talked about the importance of friendship and how it adds to success. Success in life. It sparked something inside me and I got really excited to get social again. I'd been spending a lot of time with my kids, which is exactly what I wanted to do. But then when they were with their spouses or with their friends, it was just me. Friends are an important part of life. Friends don't lie. Eli told me to throw that one in, so. Because we watched Stranger Things. Anyway, friends are an important part of life. I found this quote from the Mayo Clinic website. It says, friends prevent isolation and loneliness and give you a choice to offer needed companionship too. Friends can also increase your sense of belonging and purpose, boost your happiness, and reduce your stress. I totally agree with all of that, especially when we're going through something difficult. We need friends. When I went through my divorce, I can't even tell you the support that I felt from my friends, and I really, really appreciate that. And then also the ones that I made along the way who understood what I was going through and could buoy me up. Finding friends is pretty easy for some people and not so easy for others. But keep in mind that all you need to do is forget yourself and focus on the other person. If you truly want to find friends, then it'll only be natural for you to be interested in the other person and not focus on yourself. If you're focused on them, you'll come across as very genuine, and that makes people feel comfortable and at ease around you. Begin by making acquaintances. So how do we do that? Go out of your way to compliment people. You can find one small thing about someone to compliment them on, and you'll be surprised at the response. Compliment the person at the checkout. Then remember their name, and when you go in the next time, say hi. These are great ways to find acquaintances. And if you keep it up, they'll turn into friends. When you've got a social event coming up, go out and intentionally find friends. Or just throughout the day. Wake up in the morning and decide, I'm gonna find a friend today. And you will. Along our journey, we meet lots of different kinds of people. So expand your horizons. You can learn a lot of different things from all of these wonderful people. In the podcast, Brooke talks about the lifetime of a relationship. Some last a really long time and some complete their purpose in just a short amount of time. We all have our own space in this life. People come and go in and out of our lives and we do the same to theirs. When asked about friends throughout her life, Brooke's guest Aprielle said, I didn't leave them behind, they just didn't come. I really liked that because it paints the picture for me of friends traveling in and out of each other's lives, blessing them along the way. I have so many opportunities to be a blessing in someone's life and that makes me happy. We're always learning something from each other. We take a piece of something from all of it. Another great thing she pointed out about friends is I can just be who I am and I don't have to apologize or beat myself up. What I learned from this was, and what I've learned throughout the years, is that I can be myself and it's very freeing. I'm just as important as anyone else in this world. My thoughts and opinions matter. God doesn't love anyone else more than he loves me. And the wonderful thing about that is, we all can say that. He loves all of us. I also learned that everything is not my fault and I need to stop taking blame for it. I think throughout my life as a peacemaker, I voluntarily took the blame for things that I didn't need to. I apologized for everything, even when I wasn't in the wrong. I've learned to be super aware of it. So before I text I'm sorry or say I'm sorry, I think about the situation and ask, is this really something I did that I need to apologize for? And then I don't, because most of the time, it's not something I need to apologize for. She also suggests to learn to be direct. I've struggled with this just because I don't want to hurt feelings. But what I've learned from coaching is that I have no control over someone else's feelings. I'm not going to blatantly say something to hurt somebody else. So I've learned that I can speak my mind and share my feelings with friends without worrying how they are going to take it. They'll take it however they choose, and that is none of my business. If a friend is direct with me, I don't need to be offended. How I choose to take someone's opinion or thoughts is none of their business. If I'm offended, it's because that's what I've chosen to think. But that's not a thought that serves me, so I try not to be offended, but it doesn't always work out that way. Anyway, the point is, it's a choice. I think it's good to have different groups of friends. I have several groups of friends that I do things with, and I don't necessarily act any different when I'm with each of them. Our interests and the things we do in those groups serve their own purposes. For example, I have my family friend group. My kids are all adults. Well, Eli will be 18 next year. And most of them are married, so they've all become my best friends, and I love hanging out with them. I also have a group of single friends, which is a lot less than it used to be, but I still love hanging out with them. I've got a group of networking friends. I have my work friends. I have my girls' trip friends. I have my Peach Queen pageant hostess friends, and I love them all. And I'm sure if we all got together, there'd be a big party. But we do have different friends for different reasons. She also says, don't think, what can this person give me? When you're making new friends, or even keeping friends, it's never about you. Don't make it about you. It's always about what you can do to help them. If we have this attitude and goal, the relationship will be mutual and it'll last longer than it would if it was the other way around. Make friends for your own development. I love this point because I've recently had a desire to be more self-aware, to be aware of my thoughts and why I do certain things, because then I can improve myself and hopefully change and become better. Making and being a friend can help with that. Ask yourself, am I a good friend? What is a good friend? How can I be a good friend? Brooke suggests some ways. Be direct instead of quietly seething. Like, if something bothers you, let them know instead of just hating their guts without them even knowing. Be honest and truthful, and be somebody's biggest fan. How can you make friends? Like I said, it's easier for some than others. So how can you make friends? Well, let's just say that you're at a social gathering and you want to make a friend. There are a few things you can try. Notice something about a person and compliment them on it. But my advice is to have a backup if the conversation doesn't continue, because I've been there and it can get super awkward. Or you can just be super awkward. That's fine. Or just go up and say, hey, has anyone told you that you look like so-and-so? I don't know, choose some actor or actress. And this is a good one because it's also a compliment to them at the same time. Unless you say that they look like Nicolas Cage or something. Just kidding. I don't know why he gets such a bad rap. Or you can simply say, let's be friends. You know, do it like the kid way. Kids just go up to each other and say, let's be friends. Do that. Go to the social events fully intending to have conversations. This is one thing I want to get better at. I want to get really good at icebreakers because I think I'm not even awkward at it. I just haven't tried it yet. But you all know somebody who's super great at it. And I've been really aware of it lately, and I've noticed that the icebreakers sometimes don't have anything to do with anything. And sometimes they're even dumb. So it's just another way to get somebody's attention other than saying, hey you. So I could do that. Doesn't sound too difficult. But 30 years ago, I avoided situations where I'd have to have conversations at all. So I've changed a lot, which is good. So that was awkward. Then when I got into the single scene, you know, you show up at a party and people you know, you don't have to do an icebreaker because all you do is like see somebody you know, make eye contact, throw open your arms and walk towards them going, ah, it's so good to see you. That usually only works with the girls. Actually, no, it would work with guys too. What I've learned is that most people aren't jerks. There are some jerks, but usually in social situations, people don't mind having others join the conversations. And this is something I've learned from my networking meetings. If you come up to a group of two or three people and they're standing there in a way that they're not completely closed off, then you can just go up and join the conversation. Just introduce yourself. The networking scene is a bit different from the single scene in that you're all wanting to help or be helped by each other. In the single scene, you are sometimes looked at as competition or fresh meat, depending on who's doing the looking. In either case, if you have the outward mindset where you focus on how you can help someone or brighten someone's day instead of thinking what's in it for me, You'll definitely make friends, and a lot of them. And then make an effort to invite people to do things. Don't be guarded. She says if you're guarded, they never get to see the real you. And that's something that stood out to me also. How can I add value to who I am, but completely be myself at the same time? And that's really important to remember. Be yourself. Be secure in who you are. In the singles world, don't get sucked into the competition, unless you really can't help it. I know there are people like that. But I'm not very competitive in that way. Just ask my high school basketball coach. I've never been one to want to convince a guy to date me. I remember auditioning for a reality show about singles in Utah, and the casting director was interviewing all of us. When it was my turn, he asked, "Are you a competitive dater?" I said, "Nope. If a guy wants to ask me out, he will. If not, I'm good." Yep, you guessed it. I didn't get the part. I wasn't Kardashian enough for him, I'm sure. I need more drama. But we're all different and we can shine in our own light. Be compassionate. Your friends aren't out to hurt you. If you're offended, it's time to do a self-check. That's what Brooke says. One other point she made that really stood out to me applies to friends and people we're dating. If you call or text and they don't answer, you may think that they're just ignoring you or that you might not be a priority to them. Then your brain goes wild and pretty soon you're ready to cut it off because obviously they don't value your amazingness. Instead of all the drama, just be honest and say, "It matters to me that we talk. You matter to me." Friends are important in life. When I first started dating, I wanted to make tons of friends, and that's what I did. We had so much fun and still do today. I encourage you to get out of your comfort zone, if that's what needs to happen, and make friends. Not only will it help you be a better person, but you'll help someone else along the way. Just be yourself, and you'll attract those that want to be with you. If someone doesn't want to be your friend, no big deal. There are plenty who do. So I want to leave you with my very favorite quote from Brooke Castillo's podcast episode, Success and Friendship. "You can be the juiciest peach, but not everybody likes peaches." So go out and be the best peach you can be. See ya.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson. Sponsored by Dating by Debs.